And again, this is Luke chapter 23, verses 1 through 49. Then the whole company of them arose up, and they brought him to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man misleading our people and forbidding to pay the head tax to Caesar. And he says concerning himself that he's a king, even the Christ." So Pilate asked him and said, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said to him, "You said that." Then Pilate said to the high priest and to the people, "I cannot find any fault against this man." But they stood and they shouted, "He stirred up our people, and he's teaching throughout Judea and beginning from Galilee even to this place." Well, when Pilate heard the name Galilee, he asked if the man was a Galilean. And when he knew that Jesus was under the jurisdiction of Herod, he sent him to Herod, because Herod was in Jerusalem in those days. When Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had wanted to see him for a long time, because he had heard the many things concerning him, and he was hoping to see a miracle by him. And so he asked Jesus many words, but Jesus gave him no answer. But the high priest and the scribes stood and accused him bitterly. And Herod and his soldiers insulted him and mocked him and dressed him in a scarlet robe and sent him back to Pilate. And that day, Pilate and Herod became friends with each other, for there had been a long-standing enmity between them. Then Pilate called the high priest and the leaders of the people. And he said to them, "You brought me this man as if he were misleading your people. And behold, I have examined him before your own eyes, and I have found no fault in this man concerning all that you accuse him. Not even Herod, for I sent Jesus to him, and behold, he has done nothing worthy of death. Therefore, I will chastise him and release him." For there was a custom to release to them one at the feast. But all the people cried out, saying, "Get rid of him and release to us Barabbas, who because of sedition and murder, which had happened in the city, was cast into prison." Again, Pilate spoke to them, desiring to release Jesus. But they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And he said to them the third time, "What evil has he done? I have found nothing in him worthy of death. I will therefore chastise him and release him." But they persisted with loud voices and asked to crucify him. And their voice and that of the high priest prevailed. Then Pilate commanded to have their request granted. So he released to them the one who, because of sedition and murder, was cast into prison, whom they asked for, and he delivered Jesus to their will. And while they took him away, they laid hold of Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from the field. And they placed the end of the cross on him to carry it with Jesus. And many people followed him, and the women who were mourning and wailing over him. But Jesus turned to them and said, "O daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep over me, but weep over yourselves and over your own children. For behold, the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never gave birth, and the breasts that never gave suck.' For they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things with the green wood, what will be done with the dry wood? And that's a Samaritan, that is a saying in the language that means if they do this with what is good, what will they do with that which is bad? And there were coming with him two others, malefactors, to be put to death. And when they came to a place which is called the Skull, they crucified him there, and the malefactors, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, O Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. And they divided his garments and cast lots over them. And the people stood on looking, and even the leaders of the synagogue mocked him and said, he saved others, let him save himself if he is the Christ, the chosen one of God. And the soldiers ridiculed him as they came near and offered him vinegar, saying to him, if you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription which was written over him in Greek and Roman and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. Now one of the malefactors who were crucified with him blasphemed against him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and save us also. But the other rebuked him and said to him, do you not fear even God? For you are also in the same judgment. And ours is just, for we are paid as we deserve and as we have done. But he has done nothing wrong. And he said to Jesus, remember me, my Lord. When you come into your kingdom. Jesus said to him, truly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. And that was about the sixth hour, and darkness fell upon the whole earth. That's noon. 12 noon. And the sun was darkened, and the door curtains of the temple were torn in the center. Then Jesus cried out with a loud voice and said, O my Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And he said this and passed away. When the centurion saw what had happened, he praised God. And he said, truly, this was a righteous man. And all the people who were gathered together to see this sight, when they saw what had happened, they returned, beating their breasts. And all the acquaintances of Jesus stood afar off. And the women who had come with him from Galilee, and they were beholding these things. The Gospel of Christ. And that's the sermon for today. Shortest sermon you'll ever hear from me. But I haven't dismissed you yet. I know it could be true. I wanted to share something with you. Just a couple of things. Number one, Jesus underwent intense questioning. He was beaten. He was tortured in their attempt to get him to deny what he said, that he was the Christ. At any moment, he could have stopped it all just by saying, "You're right, you're right, you're right. Just stop beating me. I'll tell you that I'm not the Christ." But he didn't. Because of you and because of me. Because our salvation was still at stake. And I want you to see that even Pilate recognized that Jesus was a king. And he even treated Jesus like a king as best he could under the circumstances. Pilate was not deceived. He knew what was going on. And that is why in one of the other Gospels, he stands before the people and he said, "I will not have the blood of an innocent man on my hands." And he called for a basin of water to be brought, and he washed his hands to signify to the crowd that, yes, he might be handing him over to them, but it wasn't because Jesus had done anything wrong. And so that begs the question, who killed Jesus? Did the Jews kill Jesus? Well, they raised quite a fuss. They were the ones that pushed the issue, but they didn't have the right for capital punishment. That was only Pilate that could do that. And so, when Pilate washed his hands before the crowd, he said, "His blood is not on my hands." They responded, "Well then, let his blood be upon our heads and the heads of our children." But even then, it wasn't Pilate who killed Jesus. It wasn't the Jews who killed Jesus. They got exactly what they wanted, what they were shouting for. And not 40 years later, Rome would level Jerusalem to the ground. There would not be one stone sitting upon another. That was the big AD 73 rebellion. And so the children of these people that said these things suffered the wrath of Rome and were either most of them put to death. That's why Jesus was saying, "Y'all are going to be calling for the mountains to fall upon you and to crush you." That's what's coming because of the proclamation that the leaders of the Jewish nation made. But probably the most important passage, the most important verse that we see up here is found for us in verse 46. "And he cried out with a loud voice, 'O my Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit.' And he said this, and he passed away." And the King James says, "He gave up the ghost." Nobody killed Jesus. Jesus was already a dead man when they put him on that cross. Because of what he had suffered, even when they were in prayer the night before in the garden, it says that he was in such agony in prayer that he was sweating great drops of blood. And that is a symptom of congestive heart failure, where the lining of the heart, the pericardium, separates from the heart and it fills with fluid, and it slowly suffocates the heart till it can't breathe, it can't beat anymore. And one of the symptoms is you sweat blood. So you see, even before the Jews got their hands on Jesus, even before the Romans got their hands on Jesus. He was already a dead man. It was a superhuman feat just for him to carry that cross. After taking the beatings and the scourgings and all that he did take while in congestive heart failure, he was just bringing the time of his death closer and closer. But it was Jesus who gave up the ghost. It was Jesus who decided, at this point, I will give up living. And he gave up his life. Jesus said earlier, no man takes my life. I lay my life down freely. Why did he do that? Why did he lay his life down freely? He did it for you. He did it for me. He did it for every person who would be born. In the history of the world, he laid his life down for his own creation, who would rather one day wave the palm fronds. Oh, it's so great. The King of the Jews is here. He'll lead us into rebellion against Rome, and we'll be able to chase the Romans out of here. That didn't happen. And when that didn't happen, they turned on him, and it was the same crowd who was crying, Hosanna, Hosanna on highest to the King, to the Son of David. That same crowd a week later was crying out, Crucify him. We'd rather have Barabbas, a murderer. Set him loose. Crucify this Jesus. If there would have been one person there in that crowd saying, nah, he's who he says he is. He is the King. He is the Savior. He is the Messiah. But all those people had turned around and ran away out of fear. Leaving Jesus all by himself to suffer what no one should have to suffer. Why? Because of his love. Beloved, we go through rough times. Jesus said, hey, in this life you will suffer tribulation. Get used to it, he said, I've overcome the world. Alright, we're already on the winning side. And in those difficult times, my wife and I are going through difficult times. But no more than anybody else goes through. When we go through difficult times, you remember the one who loved you so much that he went through hell on earth for you. Then he went to literal hell for you. Devil must have thought that was pretty neat. Well, look who's in my living room. The Son of God. Until Jesus kicked the fire out of him. In his own living room. You just remember that same one who loved you that much back then loves you that much right now. And you may not understand what you're going through or why you're going through it. He never promised to give us a why. He just said, how are you going to do it? You're going to do it by loving him, having faith in him. And folks, people can argue scripture with you. People can argue whatever they want to with you. But no one can argue the love of Christ. It was an historical event. It happened, and no one can say it didn't. Well, I guess some moron could say it didn't happen if you want to go ahead and ignore history. We've already looked at all of the extra-biblical books that talk about what Jesus went through. That's who loves you. And so when it seems like the things of this life are just kind of piling up on you, remember, He loves you. And He promised He's not going to let you go beyond that which you're able. It's surprising how much we're able. Amen. I never would have tested myself to the length that some of the times that He's tested me. But we came out on the other end victorious in Jesus. Amen. But when it comes to prayer, when it comes to just dealing with where we're at here in this life, you remember God's love. You remember Jesus' love. And, you know, it was dark. I mean, dark, dark. And the picture that we showed, it was kind of like dusk dark. But it was dark from noon until 3, dark. Couldn't see your hand in front of your face, dark. Why? Because the Father just couldn't stand to look on it. Couldn't stand the sight of what His Son was suffering. Well, how do you turn your back on something when you're omnipresent? The only way you can is just make it so dark you can't see. Which is also kind of rough because guess who can see in the dark, right? All right. But He just couldn't. It broke God, the Father's heart so badly. Couldn't watch it for 3 hours until it was over. 3 o'clock, that's when the end came, and Jesus gave it up for us. Amen?
Amen?
Hey, life can be kind of rough at our age. There are a few things that we suffer through at our age that we didn't even ever think about when we were younger. You just remember that the same Jesus who went to the cross for you is right here with you. As a friend who's closer to them, brother, He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Father God, we thank You for this.